From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Bard Brawlers to the Bard Brawl.
What? Who was that? You have to introduce yourself now.
Hi, I'm Zoe Baldwin.
Zoe Baldwin doing the first non-me introduction.
Wow.
I feel like a piece of me's been taken away. That's sad. But it's okay.
I'm so sorry.
I happily take that piece of myself away. And that piece of me is called my ego. And I'm Daniel J. Rowe. Eric Jean now is laughing.
I was going to make a taking your eye joke, which was
a little foreshadowing. You can't give too much away
fool.
For all those people who are waiting anxiously to see what happens. Eric Jean joining us for the Bard Brawl, and Stephanie E.M. Coleman, fresh off, well, in the midst of your Fiber show. Can you tell everybody about your Fiber show, where it is and how long it runs for?
It's at Diagonal Centre Baptiste in Milan, running for the next 2 weeks.
Until what day?
March 23rd, Saturday.
So before March 23rd, get out and check out Stephanie's show.
Okay.
And you can go on Facebook and you'll find the show. It's called Monstrosities.
Yes.
Which grotesque.
Grotesque Monstrosities. Yes. That's an Othello
good
reference.
Monstrosities.
Jay Reed, reclining in a Rush shirt. Appropriate. How are you today?
Doing okay.
A little worn down because you have to work now?
What's going on here? No, just...
working man.
Yeah, I'm a working man now.
Yeah, good. Gives you a little break from the from being forced into your basement and editing all day long. In front of a glowing screen.
Yeah, because that's all I do.
That's what I assume you do.
Okay.
If you would please. We are in the midst of one of Shakespeare's great plays, King Lear, the tragedy of King Lear. We're in Act 3. Eric Jean, what has happened?
Quite
a lot has happened.
The short version. King Lear's decided to divide his kingdom three ways. He has three daughters. And he sets it up. I'll give the biggest chunk to the daughter who can convince me that they love me the most. So, of course, Goneril and Regan, the two older daughters, play along. And Cordelia refuses, for which she is disowned by King Lear and essentially banished to France.
Yes. Zoe was
quite sad.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was me.
Yeah, we haven't heard from you yet.
Yeah.
Since being banished.
That's I'm just true. Being method about it.
Good.
Yes.
Yes. Very Daniel Day-Lewis of you. And meanwhile, in Gloucester's house.
And Gloucester's house, he's got two sons. Edmund, the young bastard son, and Edgar, his sort of older legitimate son. And Edmund is busy plotting to get rid of Edgar in order to inherit all of his father's lands. And eventually we'll even try to get hold of the kingdom by playing the two daughters off one another. But anyways... as we will see shortly. And so once King Lear banishes Cordelia, he also banishes Kent, his right-hand man. And he tells his daughters, you guys will pay for 100 of my nights to hang out with me, and I'm going to spend a month hanging out with each of you. And within moments...
don't like that.
Yeah, within moments, they try to get rid of his drinking buddies. He doesn't like it when Goneril does it, so he says, no problem, I'll go to Regan's house. She loves me, and Regan's like, you're crazy, old man. We're getting rid of those knights. And that's kind of where we're at.
And now we have two characters that are in disguise. Kent is disguised as Caius, and we haven't seen him yet, but Edgar becomes... starts
he will.
To...
He hasn't put on his disguise
up?
Yet. I
okay.
think we get that speech in here.
Well, he had a speech in the last act that he was running off into the woods.
Oh, yes, then you're right. Then we've already done that.
Right, he will be disguised as Tom O'Bedlam. Who's the source text of this craziness?
Oh man, there's a couple. Henry of Monmouth is like the arch original text with where the King's story of King Lear is first mentioned. But apparently there was a play written a few years before Shakespeare wrote his King Lear called King Lear.
Yeah.
And that was very similar to this, except no one reads that one because it's not nearly as good.
So we have this. This play is great. There's tons of film versions, and if you go to bardbrawl.com, you will see a number of reviews of the various film versions. Jay Reid did one, I did one, and Zoe Baldwin did one. How did you like your journey with John Lucas? Oh, Eric, also.
Thanks.
Is if it's not up yet, it will be coming shortly. I didn't want to jump because I wanted to make sure you had enough time to deal with the glory that
Iran.
How did you like Jean-Luc Godard, Zoe?
Well, Godard is, you know, very avant-garde and strange. And the movie was basically... It takes place in a post-Chernobyl world where no art or literature exists any longer. And it's a descendant of Shakespeare's named William Shakespeare Jr. V, played by Peter Sellers, A-R-S, not E-R-S. And he has to recreate Shakespeare's works. So it's not so much a film adaptation of the play King Lear as it is like a journey into the rediscovery of an art form.
It's interesting.
Yeah, but it's sort of, it's peppered with really loud seagull squawking, and it's very, often the picture doesn't match the sound, and, you know, it's difficult.
As all good movies are.
Yes.
Lots of That's good. That's interesting because it's very similar to the review, which I have been slowly getting around to writing on Oscar Wilde's Portrait of Mr. W.H., and then the work itself, in this case with Wilde, it's the sonnets, and in your case it's with Lear, becomes more the obsession than the actual like retelling. So stay tuned for more of those. We are in Act 3. We are moving, as I like to see this play, from the castles to the wilderness. Although we still have some castle stuff, but this is when they start wandering and...
Yeah.
And thunder and lightning begins. We are in...
Oh, that's right.
A heath.
A heath.
A heath. Not Heath Ledger. Rest in peace.
Not Heathcliff.
Not Heathcliff. Also, rest in peace. He died in that book, didn't he? Wuthering Heights?
I think he...
Yeah, he died.
I don't...
Yeah, it's because he was buried with his love. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway,
yeah.
That's a great book.
But you ruined now.
That's true, I did. So we have Kent, or as Stephanie likes to see him, Mr. Carson. Asks the loyal Kent, who's loyal to Lear, and First Gentleman Eric, do you feel First Gentleman-esque today?
I feel rather gentlemanly.
We had a fight between Zoe and Jay Reid that wound up in the streets last time over First Gentleman, so we'll just simmer that down by donating it to Eric Jean.
Called up.
Thank you.
Called up, yeah. Oh, now I reignited it.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I can feel the tension. So, we're in a heath, we're in the wilderness, we have Kent and a First Gentleman. Storm. Still. Enter Kent, disguised as Caius, and First Gentleman, severally.
Who's there, besides foul weather?
One-minded like the weather, most unquietly.
I know you. Where's the king?
Contending with the fretful elements. Bids the wind blow the earth into the sea, or swell the curled waters above the main, that things might change or cease. Tears his white hair, which the impetuous blasts with eyeless rage catch in their fury, and make nothing of. Strives in his little world of man to outscorn the to and fro conflicting wind and rain. This night, wherein the cub-drawn bear would couch, the lion and the belly-pinched wolf keep their fur dry. Unbonneted, he runs and bids what will take all.
But who is with him?
None but the fool who labors to outjest his heart-struck injuries.
Sir, I do know you. And dare upon the warrant of my note commend a dear thing to you. There is division, although as yet the face of it is covered with mutual cunning, twixt Albany and Cornwall, who have, as who have not, that their great stars thrown and set high, servants who seem no less, which are to France the spies and speculations intelligent of our state. What hath been seen, either in snuffs and packings of the dukes, or the hard rain which both of them hath borne against the old kind king, or something deeper, whereof perchance these are but furnishings, But truth it is, from France there comes a power into this scattered kingdom, who already, wise in our negligence, have secret feet in some of our best ports, and are at point to show their open banner. Now to you, if on my credit you dare build so far, to make your speed to Dover, you shall find some that will thank you, making just report of how unnatural and bematting sorrow the king hath caused to plain. I am a gentleman of blood and breeding, and from some knowledge and assurance offer this office to you.
I will talk further with you.
No, do not. For confirmation that I am much more than my out wall, open this purse and take what it contains. If you shall see Cordelia, as fear not but you shall, show her this ring, and she will tell you who that fellow is that yet you do not know. Fie on this storm, I will seek the king.
Give me your hand. Have you no more to say?
Few words, but to effect more than all yet, that when we have found the king, in which you are paying that way, all this, he that first lights on him, holla the other.
Exunt severally. Jay Reed, do you want to take the stage directions in this scene? We have Lear, me, Fool, Eric, Kent, Stephanie.
Storm still. Enter Lear and Fool.
Blow winds and crack your cheeks. Rage, blow, you cataracts and hurricanes. Spout till you have drenched our steeples, drowned the cocks. You sulphurous and thought-executing fires, vaunt curers of oak-cleaving thunderbolts, singe my white beard. And thou, all shaking thunder, strike flat the thick rotundity of the world. Crack nature's molds, all germain spill at once, that makes in grateful man.
Oh, nuncle, court holy water in a dry house is better than this rainwater out of doors. Good nuncle, in, ask thy daughter's blessing. Here's a knight pities neither wise men nor fools.
Rumble thy belly full, spit fire, spout rain. No, nor rain, wind, thunder, fire are my daughters. I tax not you, you elements, with unkindness. I never gave you kingdom, called you children. You owe me no subscription. Then let fall your horrible pleasure. Here I stand, your slave, a poor, infirm, weak, and despised old man. But yet I call you servile ministers that will, with two pernicious daughters, join your high-engendered battles gainst a head so old and white as this. Oh-ho, tis foul!
He that hath a house to put his head in has a good headpiece. The godpiece that will house before the head has any, the head and he shall louse so beggars marry many. The man that makes his toe what he his heart should make shall of a corn cry woe and turn his sleep to wake. For there was never yet fair woman, but she made mouths in a glass.
Enter Kent, disguised.
No, I will be the pattern of all patience. I will say nothing.
Who's there?
Mary, here's a grace and a codpiece. That's a wise man and a fool.
Alas, sir, are you here? Things that love night love not such nights as these. The wrathful skies gallow the very wanderers of the dark and make them keep their caves. Since I was man, such sheets of fire, such bursts of horrid thunder, such groans of roaring wind and rain I never remember to have heard. Man's nature cannot carry the affliction nor the fear.
Let the great gods that keep this dreadful putter o'er our heads find out their enemies now. Tremble, thou wretch, that hast within thee undivulged crimes, unwhipped of justice. Hide thee, thou bloody hand, thou perjured and thou simular of virtue, that art incestuous, caitiff, to pieces shake, that under covert and convenient seeming has practiced on man's life, close pent-up guilts, rive your concealing continence, and cry, these dreadful summoners' grace, I am a man, more sinned against than sinning.
Alack, bareheaded, gracious my lord, hard by here is a hovel. Some friendship will it lend you against the tempest. Repose you there while I to this hard house, more harder than the stones whereof 'tis raised, which even but now, demanding after you, denied me to come in, return and force their scanted courtesy.
Seems much more Kent-like than
yeah,
fool-like to me.
Yeah, it's not very foolish.
My wits begin to turn. Come on, my boy. How dost, my boy? Art cold? I am cold myself. Where is this straw, my fellow? The art of our necessities is strange and can make Vile things, precious. Come, your hovel, poor fool and knave, I have one part in my heart that's sore yet for thee.
He that has, and a little tiny wit, with hey-ho the wind and the rain, must make content his fortunes fit, though the rain it raineth every day.
Nice, nice.
I actually have learned that song before.
It's because it's really? From Twelfth Night.
That's why.
The Feste also says the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Interesting. True boy.
You know.
Come, bring us to this hovel.
Exit with Kent.
This is a brave knight to court a courtesan. I'll speak a prophecy ere I go. When priests are more in word than matter, when brewers mar their malt with water, when nobles are their tailors' tutors, no heretics burned but wenches' suitors, then shall the realm of Albion come to great confusion, when every case in law is right, no squire in debt, nor no poor knight, when slanders do not live in tongues, nor cut purses come not to throngs, when usurers tell their gold in the field, and bawds and whores do churches build, then come the time who lives to see it that going shall be used with feet. This prophecy Merlin shall make, for I live before his time.
Exit.
Oof.
Such a strange speech.
It is strange. Wizards.
Yeah.
I like when wizards get brought up.
Before.
I'm trying to figure out what the Merlin thing is. It says in here.
There's a lot of...
Where's the wizards? Oh, Merlin. Oh,
there are a lot of weird, sort of half-baked theories about it. Sorry, I'm wandering.
A lot of half-baked
theories about the whole Merlin thing. But I don't know.
Let's go back to the castle. We're getting too confused in the wilderness. Are you ready for it to be Gloucester now, Eric?
I will bring my air of gravity.
Hogger of all good roles. Gloucester and the Fool are both very cool. Gloucester's castle, we have Gloucester. Eric, you are now no longer the Fool. You are now Gloucester, as you were last time. And Edmund. J. Reed, are you ready to be Edmund? Yeah. Are you ready to be a bastard?
Yeah.
Bastard meaning your parents weren't married, not bastard like you're a bastard.
Oh.
So,
but he is the worst.
But he is also kind of.
We will let you decide, listener.
Listeners can decide. Enter Gloucester and Edmund with lights.
Alack, Edmund. I like not this unnatural dealing. When I desired their leave that I might pity him, they took from me the use of mine own house, charged me on pain of perpetual displeasure neither to speak of him, entreat for him, or in any way sustain him.
Most savage and unnatural.
Go to. Say you nothing. There is division between the dukes, and a worse matter than that. I have received a letter this night. 'Tis dangerous to be spoken. I have locked the letter in my closet. These injuries the king now bears will be revenged home. There is part of a power already footed. You must incline to the king. I will look him, and privy relieve him. Go you and maintain talk with the duke, that my charity be not of him perceived. If he ask for me, I am ill and go to bed. If I die for it, as no less is threatened me, the king, my old master, must be relieved. There are strange things toward, Edmund. Pray you be careful.
Exit.
This courtesy forbid thee shall the duke instantly know, and of that letter too. This seems a fair deserving, and must draw me, that which my father loses, no less than all. The younger rises when the old doth fall.
Exit.
I feel like there's a joke in there somewhere for R. Kelly in the letter locked in the closet.
Trapped in the closet.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is getting meta in ways I can't keep up with.
Yeah, yeah. You're going too many layers and...
Oh, I just... That was South Park, my bad.
The Heath. We have Lear, me, Kent, Stephanie, Fool... Eric, Edgar, Zoe, hello.
Hey.
And Gloucester.
Hello.
Perhaps, J. Reed, you can pinch hit for Gloucester if he winds up talking to the Fool.
I don't think he does. This, I'm just double checking right now. I mean, if it happens, sure, but I don't think he does.
Yeah, maybe, J. Reed, just write Gloucester for this one, because there is a scene where they're all together.
Okay.
Sorry, Eric. Enter Lear.
Gloucester.
Kent. Kent disguises Caius and Fool.
Oh, me. Here is the place, my lord. Good my lord, enter. The tyranny of the open night's too rough for nature to endure.
Storm.
Let me alone.
Good my lord, enter here.
Wilt break my heart?
I'd rather break mine own. Good, my lord, enter.
Thou thinkest 'tis much that this contentious storm invades us to the skin. So 'tis to thee, but where the greater malady is fixed, the lesser is scarce felt. Thou'dst shun a bear, if thy flight lay toward the roaring sea, thou'dst meet the bear in the mouth. When the mind's free, the body's delicate, this tempest in my mind doth from my senses take all feeling else, save what beats there. Filial ingratitude. Is it not as this mouth should tear this hand for lifting food to it? But I will punish home. No, I will weep no more in such a night to shut me out. Pour on, I will endure. In such a night as this? Oh, Regan Goneril, your old kind father whose frank heart gave all. Oh, that way madness lies. Let me shun that. No more of that.
Good, my lord, enter here.
Prithee, go in thyself, seek thine own ease. This tempest will not give me leave to ponder on things would hurt me more, but I'll go in.
To the fool.
In, boy, go first, your houseless poverty. Nay, get thee in, I'll pray, and then I'll sleep.
Exit, fool.
Poor naked wretches, whosoe'er you are that bide the pelting of this pitiless storm, how shall your houseless heads and unfed sides, your looped and windowed raggedness defend you from seasons such as these. Oh, I have ta'en too little care of this. Take physic, pomp, expose thyself to feel that wretches feel, that thou mayest shake the superflux to them and show the heavens more just.
Within.
Oh. Fathom and half, fathom and half. Poor Tom!
Enter fool from the hovel. Come not in here, nuncle. Here's a spirit. Help me, help me!
Give me thy hand. Who's there?
A spirit. He says his name is Poor Tom.
What art thou that dost grumble there in the straw? Come forth.
Enter Edgar disguised as a madman.
Away! The foul fiend follows me. Through the sharp hawthorn blow the winds. Hum! Go to thy bed and warm thee.
Didst thou give all to thy daughters? And art thou come to this?
Who gives anything to poor Tom, whom the foul fiend hath led through fire and through flame, through ford and whirlpool, or bog and quagmire, that hath laid knives under his pillow and halters in his pew, set rat's bane in by his porridge, made him proud of heart, to ride on a bay trotting horse over four-inched bridges, to course his own shadow for a traitor? Bless thy five wits, Tom's a cold. Oh, doody, doody, doody. Bless thee from whirlwinds, star blasting, and taking. Do poor Tom some charity, whom the foul fiend vexes. There could I have him now, and there again, and there.
Has his daughters brought him to this pass? Couldst thou save nothing? Wouldst thou give him all?
Nay, he preserved a blanket, else we had been all shamed.
Now all the plagues that in the pendulous air hang faded o'er men's faults. Let on thy daughters.
He hath no daughters, sir.
Death, traitor! Nothing could have subdued nature to such a lowness but his unkind daughters. Is it the fashion that discarded fathers should have thus little mercy on their flesh? Judicious punishment, 'twas his flesh begot those pelican daughters.
Pillicock sat on Pillicock Hill. Allow, allow, Lulu.
This cold night will turn us all to fools and madmen.
Take heed of the foul fiend, obey thy parents, keep thy words justice, swear not, commit not with man-sworn spouse, set not thy sweetheart on proud array. Tom's a cold.
What hast thou been?
A serving man, proud and hard in mind, that curled my hair, wore gloves in my cap, served the lust of my mistress' heart, and did the act of darkness with her.
Ooh.
Swore as many oaths as I spake words, and broke them in the sweet face of heaven. One that slept in the contriving of lust, and waked to do it. Wine loved I deeply, dice dearly, and in woman out-paramoured the Turk. False of heart, light of ear, bloody of hand, hog in sloth, fox in stealth, wolf in greediness, dog in madness, lion in prey. Let not the creaking of shoes nor the rustling of silks betray thy poor heart to woman. Keep thy foot out of brothels, thy hand out of plackets, thy pen from lenders' books, and defy the foul fiend. Still through the hawthorn blows the cold wind, says sum mun hey no nonny, dolphin, my boy, sessa, let him trot by.
That were better in a grave than to answer with this uncovered body, this extremity of the skies. Is no man more than this? Consider him well. Thou owest the worm no silk, the beast no hide, the sheep no wool, the cat no perfume, ha? Huh? Here's three ons are sophisticated. Thou art the thing itself, unaccommodated. Man is no more but such a poor bare forked animal as thou art. Off, off, you lendings. Come, unbutton here.
Tearing off his clothes. Prithee, nuncle, be contented. 'Tis a naughty night to swim in. Now a little fire in a wild field were like an old lecher's heart. A small spark, and all the rest of his body's cold.
Enter Gloucester with a torch.
Look, here comes a waking for walking fire.
This is the foul flibbertigibbet. He begins at curfew, and walks till the first cock. He gives the web and the pin, squints the eye, and makes the hare lip. Mildews the white wheat, and hurts the poor creature of earth. Swithold footed thrice the old, he met the nightmare and her ninefold, bid her alight, and her troth plight, and aroint thee, witch, aroint thee!
How fares your grace?
What's he?
Who's there? What is it you seek?
What are you there? Your names?
Poor Tom that eats the swimming frog, the toad, the tadpole, the walnut, and the water. That in the fury of his heart, when the foul fiend rages, eats cow dung for salad, swallows the old rat and the ditch dog, drinks the green mantle of the standing pool, who is whipped from tithing to tithing, and stock punished and imprisoned, who hath had three suits to his back, six shirts to his body, horse to ride, and weapon to wear, but mice and rats, and such small deer, have been Tom's food for 7 long year. Beware, my follower. Peace, smoke, and peace, thou fiend!
What, hath your grace no better company?
The Prince of Darkness is a gentleman. Modo he's called, and Mahu.
Our flesh and blood, my lord, is grown so vile that it doth hate what gets it.
Poor Tom's a cold.
Go in with me. My duty cannot suffer to obey in all your daughter's hard commands. Thou their injunction to bar my doors, and let this tyrannous night take hold upon you. Yet I have ventured to come seek you out, and bring you where both fire and food is ready.
First, let me talk with this philosopher. What is the cause of thunder?
Good, my lord. Take his offer. Go into the house.
I'll talk a word with the same learned Theban. What is your study?
How to prevent the fiend and to kill vermin.
Let me ask you one word in private.
Lear and Edgar talk apart. Importune him once more to go, my lord. His wits begin to unsettle.
Canst thou blame him? His daughters seek his death. Ah, that good Kent. He said it would be thus, poor banished man. Thou sayest the king grows mad. I'll tell thee, friend, I am almost mad myself. I had a son, now outlawed for my blood. He sought my life, but lately, very late, I loved him, friend. No father, his son dearer. True to tell thee, the grief hath crazed my wits. What a night's this! I do beseech your grace.
Oh, cry your mercy, sir. Noble philosopher, your company?
Tom's a cold.
That should be on a t-shirt. Yeah.
In, fellow, there. Into the hovel, keep thee warm.
Come, let's in all.
This way, my lord.
With him. I will keep still with my philosopher.
Good, my lord, soothe him. Let him take the fellow.
Take him you on.
Sirrah, come on, go along with us.
Come, good Athenian.
No words, no words. Hush.
Child Roland to the dark tower came. His word was still, fie, foe, and fum,
I smell the blood of a British man.
Ooh, excellent.
Ooh, this is going to be fun.
he's crazy. Yeah. He's so funny.
Okay, now we
get... The pelican thing, by the way, is pelicans had, like, red plumage. And so it looked like that when they would put their beaks in between their wings when they fed their chicks. And so it looked like it was feeding their chicks from its own blood.
Ah.
So that's what's going on. It was often an image associated with Christ.
Ah, interesting. We need a pinch hitter for Cornwall, because Cornwall is talking to Edmund, and they are both...
Oh. Je vais lui rendre l'appareil, as they say. I will take your Cornwall.
Okay. I didn't understand the French. I'm sorry. Bill 101, don't come
back
for me.
Back.
We're back in the castle. Gloucester's castle. Cornwall and Edmund Cornwall being pinch hit by Mr. Eric Shaw.
I will have my revenge ere I depart his house.
How, my lord, I may be censured that nature thus gives way to loyalty. Something fears me to think of.
I now perceive it was not altogether your brother's evil disposition made me seek his death, but a provoking merit set a work by a reprovable badness in himself.
How malicious is my fortune, that I must repent to be just. This is the letter which he spoke of, which approves him of an intelligent party to the advantages of France. Oh heavens, that this treason were... Were not I the detector.
Go with me to the Duchess.
If the matter of this paper be certain, you have mighty business in hand.
True or false, it hath made thee Earl of Gloucester. Seek out where thy father is, and he may be ready for our apprehension.
Aside.
If I find him comforting the king, it will stuff his suspicion more fully. I will persevere in my course of loyalty, though the conflict be sore between that and my blood.
I will lay trust upon thee. And thou shalt find a dearer father in my love.
Excellent. Oh, good times, Cornwall and Edmund. You guys are so nice.
Blinded by the light.
We're back in a chamber. It's nice.
It's coming. It's coming.
A chamber in a farmhouse adjoining the castle. Scene 6. Kent, Gloucester, Lear, Edgar, Fool. I think we're good here. Except that J. Reed will be continuing as Gloucester, as Fool is still... Apparent.
Foolish.
Enter Kent, disguised as Caius, and Gloucester.
Here is better than the open air. Take it thankfully. I will piece out the comfort with what addition I can. I will not be long for you, from you.
All the power of his wits have given way to his impatience. The gods reward your kindness.
Exit Gloucester. Thank you, Jay. Enter Lear, Edgar, and Fool.
Fratoretto calls me and tells me Nero is an angler in the Lake of Darkness. Pray, innocent, and beware the foul fiend.
Prithee, nuncle, tell me whether a madman be a gentleman or a yeoman.
A king! A king!
No, he's a yeoman that has a gentleman to his son, or he's a mad yeoman that sees his son a gentleman before him.
To have 1,000 with red burning spits come hissing in upon him.
The foul fiend bites my back.
He's mad that trusts in the tameness of a wolf, a horse's health, a boy's love, or a whore's oath.
It shall be done. I will arraign them straight.
To Edgar.
Come, sit thou here, most learned justicer.
To the fool.
Thou, sapient sir, sit here.
Oh, man.
Now you, she foxes.
I forgot about this scene.
Look where he stands and glares. Wantest thou eyes at trial, madam?
Sings.
Is this the fool or me?
You.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come o'er the bourne, Bessie, to me.
Her boat hath a leak, and she must not speak why she dares not come over to thee.
The foul fiend haunts poor Tom in the voice of a nightingale. Hoppedance cries in Tom's belly for 2 white herring. Croak not, black angel, I have no food for thee.
How do you, sir? Stand you not so amazed? Will you lie down and rest upon the cushions?
I'll see their trial first. Bring in their evidence.
To Edgar.
Thou robed man of justice, take thy place.
To the fool.
And thou, his yoke fellow of equity, bench by his side.
And to Kent.
You are, O the commission, sit you too.
Let us deal justly. Sleepest or wakest thou, jolly shepherd? Thy sheep be in the corn, and for 1 blast of thy minikin mouth, thy sheep shall take no harm. Prrr! The cat is grey.
Arraigner first. My cat's very cozy.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Wacko.
Arraign her first. Tisk Honorel, I here take my oath before this honorable assembly. She kicked the poor king, her father.
Come hither, mistress. Is your name Goneril?
She cannot deny it.
Cry you mercy? I took you for a joint stool.
And here's another whose warped looks proclaim what store her heart is made of. And stop her there. Arms, arms, sword, fire, corruption in the place. False justicer, why hast thou let her escape?
Bless thy five wits!
Oh, pity. Sir, where is the patience now that you so oft have boasted to retain?
Aside.
My tears begin to take his part so much they may mar my counterfeiting.
The little dogs and all, Trey, Blanche, and Sweetheart, seek they bark at me.
Tom will throw his head at them. Avaunt, you curs! Be thy mouth or black or white, tooth that poisons if it bite, mastiff, greyhound, mongrel grim, hound or spaniel, brach?
I think it's brach.
Brach. Brach or limb, bobtailed tyke or trundletail, Tom will make him weep and wail, for with throwing thus my head, dogs leap the hatch and all are fled. Doody doody, sessa, come march to wakes and fairs and market towns. Poor Tom, thy horn is dry.
Then.
You all right?
Okay. My horn is dry.
Then, let them anatomize Regan. See what breeds about her heart. Is there any cause in nature that makes these hard hearts?
To Edgar.
You, sir! I entertain for one of my hundred. Only I do not like the fashion of your garments. You will say they are Persian, and let them be changed.
Now good, my lord. Lie here and rest a while.
Make no noise! Make no noise! Draw the curtains. So, we'll go to supper in the morning.
And I'll go to bed at noon.
That's it. That's your line.
That is my line.
That's the last line.
That's the last one.
That's the fool's last line, which is great. Ball. Enter Gloucester.
Yeah.
Come hither, friend. Where is the king, my master?
Here, sir, but trouble him not. His wits are gone.
Good friend, I prithee thee take him in thy arms. I have overheard a plot of death upon him. There is the litter ready. Lay him in it, and drive toward Dover. Friend, where thou shalt meet both welcome and protection. Take up thy master. If thou shouldest dally half an hour, his life, with thine and all that offer to defend him, stand in assured loss. Take up, and follow me, that will to some provision give thee quick conduct.
Oppressed nature sleeps. This rest might yet have balmed thy broken sinews, which, if convenience will not allow, stand in hard cure.
To the fool.
Come, help to bear thy master. Thou must not stay behind.
Come away.
Exeunt all but Edgar.
When we are better, see bearing our woes, we scarcely think our miseries are foes. Who alone suffers most to the mind, leaving free things and happy shows behind. But then the mind much sufferance doth o'erskip, when grief hath mates and bearing fellowship. How light and portable my pain seems now, when that which makes me bend makes the king bow. He chided as I fathered. Tom, away! Mark the high noises, and thyself bewray, when false opinion, whose wrong thoughts defile thee, in thy just proof repeals and reconciles thee. What will hap more tonight? Safe scape the king. Lurk.
Exit. All right, last scenes, and that's when the fool... Question is, does the fool become the king? Blah, 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 blah. Act 3, scene 7. Back in the castle. Gloucester's castle. Cornwall!
Are we back to... Because I think this may be the moment you've been waiting for.
I want to switch back so I can...
Oh, okay.
Perpetrate his evil upon me.
Cornwall. J. Reed. Regan is... Who is Regan?
That was me at the beginning.
Regan is Stephanie. Ready. Yeah, that's cool. Goneril, Eric, Edmund, J. Reed, servants, all. Oh, Oswald, me!
Hey!
Hey, and Gloucester. So maybe because we have. Maybe. Zoe, can you take Goneril?
Sure.
Just because Eric has a few characters.
Yeah, I'm going to be quite busy in this one.
He will be busy, and it will not be pretty. Enter Cornwall, Regan, Goneril, bastard, Edmund, and servants. Cornwall to Goneril.
Post speedily to my lord, your husband. Show him this letter. The army of France is landed. Seek out the traitor Gloucester.
Exit some of the servants.
Hang him instantly. Pluck out his eyes!
You should have seen
this. Yeah, you should have seen the big smile.
You shouldn't be smiling, Jay Reed. I'm concerned.
I'm Cornwall. I'm getting into the
method. Method, right?
Doing the method thing.
Think Daniel Day-Lewis. Good.
All right. Leave him to my displeasure, Edmund. Keep you our sister company. The revenges we are bound to take upon your traitorous father are not fit for your beholding. Advise the Duke where you are going to a most festinate preparation. We are bound to the like. Our posts shall be swift and intelligent betwixt us. Farewell, dear sister. Farewell, my lord of Gloucester.
Enter Steward Oswald.
Me.
How now? Where's the king?
My lord of Gloucester hath conveyed him hence some 5 or 36 of his knights, hot questrists after him men met him at gate, who, with some other of the lord's dependents, are gone with him toward Dover, where they boast to have well-armed friends.
Get horses for your mistress.
Farewell, sweet lord and sister.
Edmund, farewell.
Exeunt Goneril, Edmund, and Oswald.
Go seek the traitor Gloucester. Pinion him like a thief. Bring him before us.
Exeunt other servants.
Now, well, we may not pass upon his life without the form of justice, yet our power shall do a courtesy to our wrath, which men may blame but not control.
Enter Gloucester, brought in by 2 or 3 servants.
Who's there, the traitor?
Ingrateful fox, 'tis he.
Bind fast his corky arms.
What means, your graces? Could my friends consider you are my guests? Do me no foul play, friends.
Bind him, I say.
Servants, bind him.
Hard, hard, oh filthy traitor.
Unmerciful lady as you are, I am none.
To this chair bind him. Villain, thou shalt find.
Regan plucks his beard.
By the kind gods, 'tis most ignobly done to pluck me by the beard.
So white and such a traitor.
Naughty lady, these hairs which thou dost ravish from my chin will quicken and accuse thee. I am your host. With robber's hands, my hospitable favors, you should not ruffle thus. What will you do?
Come, sir, what letters had you late from France?
Be simple answered, for we know the truth.
And what confederacy have you with the traitors, late footed in the kingdom?
To whose hands you have sent the lunatic king, speak.
I have a letter guessingly set down, which came from one that's of a neutral heart, and not from one opposed.
Cunning.
And false.
Where hast thou sent the king?
To Dover.
Wherefore to Dover? Wast thou not charged at peril?
Wherefore to Dover? Let him answer that.
I am tied to the stake, and I must stand the course.
Wherefore to Dover?
Because I would not see thy cruel nails pluck out his poor old eyes, nor thy fierce sister in his anointed flesh rash boorish fangs. The sea with such a storm as his bare head in hell black night endured would have buoyed up and quelched the stellate fires. Yet poor old heart, he hoped the heavens to rain. If wolves had at thy gate howled that dern time, thou shouldst have said, good porter, turn the key. All cruels else subscribe, but I shall see the winged vengeance overtake such children.
Seest shalt thou never. Fellows, hold thy chair. Upon these eyes of thine I'll set my foot.
He that will think to live till he be old, give me some help, O cruel, O you gods!
One side will mock another, the other too.
Hold your hand, my lord, I have served you ever since I was a child. But better service have I never done you than now to bid you hold.
If you see vengeance.
How if, now, you dog?
If you did wear a beard upon your chin, I'll shake it on this quarrel. What do you mean?
My villain.
Draw and fight.
Hey, then come on and take the chance of anger.
Cornwall is wounded.
Thank you.
Give me thy sword. A peasant stand up thus?
She takes his sword and runs at him behind and kills him.
Slain, my lord, you have one eye left to see some mischief on him. Oh,
lest it see more, prevent it. Out, vile jelly! Yeah. Where is thy luster now?
Oh, dark, comfortless. Where's my son Edmund? Edmund, in Kindle all the sparks of nature to quit this horrid act.
Out, treacherous villain. Thou callest on him that hates thee. It was he that made the overture of thy treasons to us, who is too good to pity thee.
Oh, my follies. Then Edgar was abused. Kind gods, forbid, forgive me that and prosper him.
Go thrust him out at gates and let him smell his way to Dover.
Exit one with Gloucester.
Ouch.
How is it, my lord? How look you?
I have received a hurt. Follow me, lady. Turn out that eyeless villain. Throw this slave upon the dunghill. Regan, I bleed apace. Untimely comes this hurt. Give me your arm.
Exit led by Regan.
Servant.
I'll never care what wickedness I do if this man come to good.
If she live long and in the end meet the old curse of death, women will all turn monsters.
Let's follow the old earl and get the bedlam to lead him where he would. His roguish madness allows itself to anything.
Go now. I'll fetch some flax and white of eggs to apply to his bleeding face. Now, heaven help him.
Exit separately.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. That is intense. And jelly. Dr. Kevin Pask challenged us in our class to actually watch this play, and I'd never seen it. So I rented the stage, Shakespeare in the Park stage version with
James Earl Jones
Ooh. As Lear and Paul Sorvino as Gloucester. And while you were reading that, I was seeing him, and it's intense to watch someone get his eyes ripped out on stage in front of you for no reason other than that his son screwed him over.
How do they portray that on stage?
Well, they sort of jam. He jams his fingers into his eyes, and he sort of like goes down and
cow eye.
Do that little like stage. He puts his hands in front of his eyes.
You throw a cow eye onto the stage, like. Screaming, and then you throw a bloody cow eye onto the stage next to you.
But there's the...
Squish it.
That's very vivid.
Be awesome.
It's a gross. It's a
Vile
gross thing.
Jelly.
And
when,
yeah.
Yuck.
And the obvious symbolism here is that once his eyes are taken out, then he sees all of a sudden that...
He sees the... light, if you will.
It's the repeated thing, the blind man who sees all because he can't see anymore. That was really intense, Jay.
Mm-hmm. What can I say? I had some rage issues that I need to get out. Yeah, let's turn it on Gloucester.
Poor Gloucester. Well, thank you all for joining us for Act 3. Where could it go from here? There's still two acts left to go, so come back next week when we will go into Act 4, and then the week after when we'll go into Act 4. Please go to barbrawl.com and listen to the first two
channeling
acts.
Act 4 twice.
Did I say Act 4 twice?
Yes.
I've been the king for too long. I have gone
slowly
mad.
Unraveling.
You're like Henry Tudor.
I'm unraveling. S. Read my review, and my review is not of a King Lear version, but of a certain episode of The Tudors, which I saw and thought Lear. So I welcome anyone who has, like, even if you see something and see a show or a movie or something and you see some of Shakespeare in it, it may actually be that you're seeing Shakespeare because this stuff gets used all the time. Mm-hmm. And then after, when you see it on stage, you're like, wait a second, I've heard that like 6,000 times, and you realize, oh, that was Shakespeare that started that.
Yeah.
Which is what makes the Bard so much fun.
Woo!
And actually, I'm very excited and anxiously waiting for Laura McDonald's comparison of Cordelia from Buffy the Vampire Slayer to Cordelia from King Lear, which is probably already on the site by now, but it's exciting. Jay Reed, thank you very much. Very good, Cornwall. And Edmund, two horrible, horrible people.
I don't know why you cast me as
and
those
a little.
Two.
I felt you needed it.
Okay.
You need to inhabit the darkness to cleanse yourself of it. Stephanie as... Now I'm singing.
Ooh,
Stephanie
nice.
As Kent, Zoe, Eric, Jean. Please go to barbell.com and leave a comment on what you thought of this play. Go to Facebook and like us. Follow us on Twitter. Leave a comment. You
send
can
us emails. Stalk us.
Oh yeah, you can send us emails at... bardbrawl@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Twitter.
You can get notes under our door.
And you can slip notes under our door. There have been a number of notes under my door. Random quotes from this play.
How many times do I
have to...
blaming anyone, but the penmanship is all very similar. Thank you! We'll see you next time!
We're talking here. It's every week.
I'll see you next time.
You will.
You will hear us.
I think.
We will talk at you soon.
Sonnet number 25. Let those who are in favor with their stars of public honor and proud titles boast, whilst I, whom fortune of such triumph bars, unlooked for joy in that I honor most. Great princes, favorites, their fair leaves spread, but as the marigold at the sun's eye, and in themselves their pride lies buried, for at a frown they in their glory die. The painful warrior, famoused for fight, after a thousand victories once foiled, is from the book of honor raised quite, and all the rest forgot for which he toiled. Then happy I that love and am beloved, where I may not remove nor be removed.